Water flows in a mountain stream down toward the growing cities of the Wasatch Front. Before the snow even melts, that water is spoken for, and a complex legal structure determines who will pay for it and how much. But what's the best way for communities to share that cost? How can municipalities and water districts encourage users to conserve so in the long run there will be enough to go around? Utah Foundation looked at those questions in a new series of research reports. In this edition of Utah Thrives, we'll hear from the research analyst who's been studying the issue, along with community leaders who have differing views on the best way to pay for water. And we'll hear about one country that's had a lot of success making use of very limited water resources, even as it accommodates a growing population. This is Utah Thrives, the Utah Foundation podcast. I'm Dan Bomas.
It's really easy to take water for granted. Everybody, you can just turn on your faucet and your water's there. It's something we use every day in our showers, drinking, and it's just omnipresent everywhere we go. And so it can give this idea that it's omnipresent and that it will always be there. But it kind of belays this huge amount of complexity in making sure that water is there for people to use, and the cost of making sure that water is there for people to use, and the fact that it might not always be there, considering Utah's population growth and the fact that it's a constrained resource.
Utah Foundation research analyst Christopher Collard looked at several aspects of water use and development in the Paying for Water series. There are two basic types of water providers: wholesale providers such as metropolitan water districts and retail providers such as cities. Many water providers lean heavily or completely on water rates, but others also collect property taxes to cover their costs. Collard told me the system becomes particularly complex where those jurisdictions overlap.
If you live out in West Valley, you're actually paying for water in four different ways. First of all, you pay a water bill to the Hunter Granger Improvement District. You also pay property taxes to the Hunter Granger Improvement District. You also pay taxes to the Jordan Valley Water Conservancy District. And you also pay property taxes to the Central Utah Water Conservancy District.
Are those all broken out on my property tax bill at the end of the year?
It is transparent what how much you're paying to each entity, but most people probably don't understand that you are paying for water through three different entities.
Do you think there are a lot of people who simply don't know that they're paying for water through property taxes?
Most people probably recognize that they're paying for water through their water bill and probably don't put a lot of thought beyond that. But 90% of Utahns, approximately, also pay property taxes to a water provider.
Ron Thompson is the general manager of the Washington County Water Conservancy District in St. George. He believes that both property taxes and water rates need to be part of the strategy.
You know, as you build projects, the need for revenue that's stable and the fact that these projects, when they come online, aren't fully utilized for some time, you've got to have a stopgap funding measure, and property tax provides that.
As Utah's population expands, water providers are looking for additional ways to channel water to growing communities. At the same time, they concede Utah's geography simply doesn't provide any more snowmelt, river flows, or groundwater than we already have. One key part of the solution is conservation. As Sandy Public Utilities Director Tom Ward pointed out, as we talked inside the Metropolitan Water District treatment plant.
If we conserve well, we won't have to raise your water rates as much. Sometimes there's an expectation that we're never going to raise water rates, and I just saved a bunch of water at my household, but my water rates went up, so my water bill isn't going down as much as I thought. What people don't see is the cost that they've avoided. As a community, by conserving, most of the communities along the front have not had to as aggressively build new infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Their rates would have gone up much higher. If you look at California, our rates are much lower as a region to California. Even Seattle, Washington, mm-hmm. Our rates are much lower than theirs.
To encourage conservation, many water providers charge tiered water rates. The more water a given customer uses, the higher the rate for those additional gallons. Christopher Collard was asked about that when he presented Utah Foundation's research to a legislative committee. He was questioned by the committee chair, State Senator Lincoln Fillmore.
We were able to show that there was a strong link between the rates charged and the amount of water consumed per capita per day. And so there was this link. We found it to be for every roughly, if there was an entity that had rates that were 10% higher, we would expect to see a 6.5% decrease in the amount of water used.
So I look at Nephi, whose rate is pretty low and constant, and I compare them to Riverton, whose rate is five times as high, but also constant.
Right.
Does it follow then that Nephi is getting more of their support from property taxes?
Not necessarily. So while we did find a link between rates and water use, we did not find a link between the share of your income, share of water providers' income that come through property taxes and water use. The way conservation is inspired, it works through rates, according to our research. Like, this is the method that conservation occurs.
A generation ago, the nation of Israel faced a water crisis as its growing population threatened to exceed its ability to provide basic water needs. Much of the water used in Israel's urban areas came from a single source, the Sea of Galilee, and it was rapidly being depleted. The government addressed the crisis in a number of ways, including developing wastewater as a source for irrigating crops and desalinating seawater from the Mediterranean for homes and cities. Eran Nitzan from the Israeli Embassy in Washington recently visited Utah for the Salt Lake Chamber's Water Innovation Summit. He talked about Israel's experience, and he says one significant difference there is the legal structure that governs water use.
In Israel, water are public assets. Nobody controls water but the government and the municipalities. And no doubt that the fact that in the United States or in Utah, water considered to be a private essence make it much more complicated to implement big reforms. There is no big reform you can make without a cost. Someone has to pay for that. Someone is suffer from that reform. And this is the power of government to impose in a matter of crisis like we had. The reform that had been initiated by the government, later on by the parliament. Much harder to do in an area like this. But in the end of the day, if I may, it's a matter of need. It's a matter of crucial. I mean, we really reached in a point when we have no other choice.
Today, Israel has abundant, albeit expensive, water resources, and water is flowing northward back toward the Sea of Galilee. As a bonus, Israeli water technology is now being exported around the world. Sterling Brown from the Utah Farm Bureau Federation was looking at it enthusiastically at the same meeting.
Why not? Why wouldn't you? They've crossed these bridges before. Why not embrace what they've done and lessons they've learned, and at a minimum consider it, if not embrace it in a number of ways? If it works, let's apply it.
What's clear is that some new ideas would be welcome as Utah confronts the prospect of providing water to a much larger population in the coming decades. And understanding how we do it today is important for both policymakers and the public. The four-part Paying for Water series is available on the Utah Foundation website at utahfoundation.org. The series was made possible in part through a grant from the George S. and Dolores Dore Eccles Foundation. Utah Foundation is a nonpartisan, nonprofit research group funded by business, philanthropic foundations, higher education, local government, and individual donations. Founded in 1945, our mission is to produce objective, thorough, and well-reasoned research and analysis that promotes the effective use of public resources, a thriving economy, a well-prepared workforce, and a high quality of life for Utahns. Utah Foundation seeks to help decision makers and citizens understand and address complex issues. Utah Foundation also offers constructive guidance to improve governmental policies, programs, and structures. I'm Dan Bomas. Thanks for listening.